you back in that sound booth. Raise your hand if you don't have a Bible with you, and we will let you use one of the Bibles that we have in the sound booth. Raise your hand high if you don't have your Bible with you. If you're a regular attender by now, I trust you have your own Bible, because it's a little hard to read the church Bibles when they're in the sound room in your home, all right? And we want you to read your Bible. All right. As I said, I apologize, but it is what it is this morning. If I get a coughing fit, just be patient. It'll pass. And if I pass out, don't worry about it. One of you other guys, just get up here, push me to the side. And my notes are here if you want to use them. But by now, you probably have your own notes on something. So somebody's going to preach here. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. You give the announcements, we preach. You lead music, we preach. You preach, we preach. All right, it's just what we do around here. I'm sure the ladies in the nursery, I hope they're not gossiping. Oh, my word. God, pastor. I hope they're not. I hope they're preaching. You know, I hope, say, can ladies preach? Why not? Why not? Every time you open your mouth and you witness, you preach, all right? All right, it seems like forever and a day since Pastor and I have been in the pulpit, but at least to teach and to preach, and we've had missionaries in, and it's been really great. It just has. I tell you what, those were God-ordained. Brother Rue, the rest of the guys, God-ordained. I mean, people got saved. I got something that I needed every time one of those visiting missionaries got into this pulpit. But it's been a while since we've been in the pulpit. So I want to continue this morning. I want to continue talking about charity. All right? Now, before we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think I gave you some of this before. Go to Romans chapter 14 with me. Romans chapter 14, and as you turn there, as soon as you get there, I'll stop and have a word of prayer. But Romans chapter 14, I gave you not too long ago what charity does within the body of Christ. Thank you, dear brother. Thank you. What charity does within the body of Christ. Now, we know that you must be, to have a good godly work, it must be doctrinally sound. And we're very conscious of that, and we deliberately go to lengths making sure that we search the Scriptures in order to find what God has doctrinally for the age from the resurrection of Jesus, the dispensation from the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the present, knowing that the New Testament, and if you've been around here any length of time, just because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in the New Testament, three quarters of those books are not New Testament. All right? Three quarters of those books, God's still dealing with Jews, and it isn't until you get to the end of them. Because the book of Hebrews says the testament isn't of force till the death of the testator, or however you want to pronounce that word. So, the New Testament really began at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'll back it up a little bit and I'll say at his death, burial, and resurrection. All right? I don't think that does any damage. But we're very sure, and we do our best to make sure that doctrine is taught, biblical doctrine, rightly dividing. But there are many churches who have their doctrine correct and are closing their doors today. There's a wonderful church, at least it was wonderful at one time. From what I understand, it's not wonderful anymore. that the deacons in the state of grand state of Ohio, the deacons just decided, and some ladies in the church and some family members who had a very large family have just decided that they're going to run the pastor, and they're going to tell the pastor what to do, and they're going to tell him how high to jump and what color tie to wear. And I gave up jumping, and if you want, I'll wear my own ties. Thank you. But it's a doctrinally, by the way, it's a King James church. By the way, if I told you the name, you'd know it. By the way, if I told you some people that came out of that church that are on the mission field, you'd know them. By the way, we read some of the books that were written by a person that was part of that work. We have them in our libraries. We have them in our bookstore. And that church went from having a goodly number of people to have about, maybe five. Yes. Yes, help us. Now listen to me. Let me pray before I get mad, all right? No, I'm not going to get mad. Just be cool. I'm not going to get mad. Let's pray. Father, forgive me. I just got in the flesh there in a heartbeat. Just got in the flesh. Lord, I remember what Paul, as he got down to the end of his life, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I can get in the flesh in a heartbeat, Lord. You know it. And if I do that, I'm going to waste your people are not going to get fed today. I'm going to fail at trying to speak for you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm just praying that you would intervene. Lord, there's just some things that upset me. There's some things. This church, Father, is so precious. It's a precious place. This church is my family. I've got boys and wives and daughters-in-law and grandkids hundreds of miles away, and I don't see them hardly at all. And that's just the way our lives have unfolded. But this church is my family. Lord, help us to protect this place. Be glorified today, Lord. Control my mind, control my tongue, control my thought, control my emotions, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can have a church that's doctrinally sound and fall apart. Let me tell you what charity does within the body of Christ. Charity. And we're going to go back. You don't have to go there right now. I think I had you in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I'd given you these four things some time ago. Romans chapter 14. And look at verses 14 and 19. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. So you see, I am supposed to live my life looking out for you. You say, "I know you're a pastor." I laugh when people tell me that. Well, you're a pastor. You're supposed to act like that. I got news for you. You're a Christian. You're supposed to act like that. You're supposed to. So that thing, when I went down to the store the other night and I see somebody coming out of a liquor store. Now I'm a saved man a long time. Don't put a stumbling block. Could be anything.
Don't put a stumbling block. You are your brother's keeper. You are. Abel knew he was his brother's keeper. He brought the firstlings of his flock. He had that little sheep. He had that little lamb for Cain. Abel knew it. He wasn't a selfish man. Cain just decided he wanted to offer, and you know he offered the fruits of the ground. He offered something that was cursed. All right. And there you have the story of the first dysfunctional family. Family's been dysfunctional ever since. So don't be worried about your family. Every family's dysfunctional. Amen. That's just God's truth. Don't get so upset. Well, I just don't know why, and I don't know why, and I don't know why. Well, let me tell you why. We're all sinners. That's why. I went back to see my dying brother, Tim, been a few years ago. Went back to see him. Wanted to make sure he was saved. He was dying of cancer. They had him on hospice at home. Walk in there, and his it wasn't even his wife, it's his ex-wife. Somewhere in the past, they got divorced, but they just decided to live together. And I walk in there, but I got word before I walked in there, one of my nephews called me and said, "Now you do know that Tim's ex-wife is a lesbian." Now, sin is sin. Okay, let's just cover that base right now. Sin is sin. The only sin that's keeping you out of heaven is unbelief. That's the only sin, all right? We're not hammering anybody. We're not condemning. You want to condemn somebody because of their lifestyle? Let me tell you what to do. Stay away from me. I don't want any part of you. I don't. Jesus Christ didn't come to condemn the world. He was already condemned. So I go back there, and sure enough, Tim's sitting in the living room, and he's dying of cancer. And his ex-wife is sitting in the kitchen, and her lover, they're sitting, and they're not young by any stretch, they're older than me, sitting there. This is the house I grew up in. I walked in that house, I can remember seeing Mom at the stove. I can remember seeing Dad sitting there with a cup of coffee, smoking one of his Viceroys. Yeah, he was a smoker. Not a problem. I don't personally care. That was Pop. He's a good man. Just dyed in the wool, blue collar. Didn't know much about anything, but just, hey, he was my dad. I loved him. You talk about dysfunctional. You haven't even begun to talk to Pat Dean. If we're going to go that route, stumbling block. Says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, thou walkest not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. I like what my brother Pat said this morning. Let's have good doctrine, but let's not be so dumb that we're so doctrinally sound, but we have no compassion. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Now watch 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Now he told us we were supposed to walk charitably. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. Make peace. You know what charity does within the body of Christ? It builds people up. Builds people up. Go to 2 Corinthians with me. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I know you will agree with this statement. This body of this remnant of believers that God's put together here is very important to me. I hope you can say that's very important to you. I hope you can say that. It's very important to you. But I can show you churches all over America where it wasn't very important to them. And that one good church in Ohio, they've got about 4 or 5 people.
And that pastor, he's about my age, maybe a little older. He's just burned out, man. He just burned out. Now, I'm sure he had a lot to do with everything, but you want to know something? If you're looking for a perfect pastor, maybe you need to be pastor. I agree with my brother Mike Beach. I agree with my pastor, and he is my pastor. Listen, if you want to know all my faults and all my sins and all my flaws, I'll write them down for you. You can tuck them. You can fold the paper in half, put it in your Bible. But is that what we have devolved into? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just one verse, that whole thought of, you know, charity is supposed to build. You can be doctrinally sound and not be building anybody. See those people living across the street there? You see that family up there in Wayne Weckman's old house? It's a lot bigger now. Wayne Weckman, they had lived in a small house. Then they bought it and made it 10 times bigger. Let me tell you what. Doctrine is not going to win them to Jesus Christ. You can tell them all about the millennium. That's not going to get them saved. You know what's going to get them saved? Charity. Kindness. Long-suffering. Gentle. Fruit of the Spirit. That's what's going to win them. That's what's going to change this island. That's what's going to... Married couple. Now, after 45 years, I do have something to say. I'm just now getting the hang of this thing. And it's getting to be fun. And I grieve for some of you because you're not having fun. But you want to know something? You can show your wife, or wife, you can show your husband the Bible and say, yeah, but the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. You come at me that way, you know what I'm going to do? I was going to give you the Bronx gesture, but that's not good. But when you show your man, and men, when you show your wife some charity, you know what that does? That breaks down the defenses. Just breaks them down. You say, you don't know me. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Italian. You don't know me. I'm a this ethnic back. Let's get beyond that crap, all right? Because that's what it is. It's crap. Now, I would use the other word, but I can't. Dung. There you go. Dung's a good word, right, brother? Dung. Thank you. See, this is my brother. He's always wanting to help me. By the way, you guys in the sound room, stop taping this and throw it out because I can see how this is going to go right now. You know what wins people? Kindness. Ron Holman and his daughter Victoria. Mike didn't even know who this man, is. Mike didn't even know where he lived. Margaret's mom didn't even know where he lived. Mike had to hunt him down. Mike had to go through public records of utilities in order to find where this guy lived. He ended up, I think he told me, he ended up talking to a neighbor. You talk about, I said it Wednesday night, I said, if your pastor wasn't a pastor, he should be a detective.
Praise the Lord.
You know what won? A man somewhere close to 80 and his daughter. You know what won them to Jesus Christ? Kindness. I know what went through his mind, because it would go through my mind. You would come from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast and spend your own money. And I'll just say this right now, and you can agree with me or not. He's not going to spend his own money. We're in this together, folks. We're in this together. Okay? That was an extension of First Bible Church. That was an extension. Now, you may not agree with that, but that's your business. I still have the pulpit this morning. All right? But you know what? I know what went through that man's mind. You came all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast just to tell me about Jesus Christ? And the defenses went like this. Kindness. Charity. Charity builds. Can I take you to... Charity edifies. I don't think I read the verse. I took you to 2 Corinthians 10:8 or 10:8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, Paul says here, which the Lord hath given us for authority, the Lord has given us for edification. That's building something up. And not for destruction. I should not be ashamed. Please don't get into a destruction mode around here. We're going to love each other to death. We're going to do our best with each other. We've all got our stupid, dumb personalities. We've got to get beyond all that nonsense. Come on. Let's keep our, let's filter everything through Jesus Christ. Let's filter everything through Jesus Christ. Because if you'll do that, you'll overlook my crass, crude, rude personality. You'll overlook it. You'll say, yeah, but he loves Jesus. And I'll say the same about you. And if we don't, you know what's going to happen? You know, those churches got destroyed. They were doctrinally true. They were doctrinally sound. But all of a sudden, people got into a destruction mode instead of an edification mode. Look at Colossians 3:14. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3:14. Now, I wear a watch now, but I'm getting like Mike Veach. I never look at it. So, every once in a while, I got to remember to look at it. All right. Look at Colossians 3:14. Can I take you up to 12? Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. And watch, this is a bunch of charity here. Mercy, bowels of mercies. I'm reading 12, verse 12. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. Forbearing one another, and if I'm just forbearing one another, that's almost like I'm tolerating you. I'm just going to put up with you until I can get away from you. That's not the way we're supposed to be. And I would reverse the coin. I'm going to put up with him until I can. I know that, it was almost like, when you're in the hospital. Unfortunately, none of us have been in the hospital with my grandson John with cancer for extended periods of time. But I said something to Deb, and she had said something to me. And the first thing came out of my mouth was, I said, baby, listen to me. You've only got 2 more days. You can forbear. You can tolerate the guy across the hall that for some odd reason, they let him play his opera at screaming levels at 3:00 in the morning. She said, I didn't get any sleep last night, baby. Now, she's got a private room. It's like, and we're not the squeaky wheel gets the attention. We're just not that kind of people. I said, baby, listen to me. You got to say something nicely. Be the antithesis of me. Say something nicely. All right. And to a nurse or to a caregiver, and just see, why do they let this guy play opera at 3:00 in the morning? I said, baby, close your, but forbearing, forbearing one another. Look at the rest of it. And forgiving one another. Wow. See, we can have our doctrine right, not forgive each other. There's a part of being a pastor that sometimes I wish I didn't have to do that part. As a pastor, you know what you kind of know everything that's going on. And when you show up on Sunday morning, I know what went on last week between you and your loved ones, and that's okay. You have to know the state of the flock. All right? But you know, forbearing, I said this, long suffering, to allow something for a long period of time loses its impact of what God wants it to be, when the very next thing in 1 Corinthians 13, the very next word was, charity is long-suffering and is kind. You see, long-suffering must be coupled with kindness. And here you've got forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, let's filter things. The old man, I've said this so many times, but it bears repeating. The old man said, listen to me, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. I know we follow men. Paul even said that. Be you followers of me, even as I am of Christ. But even the best of us, okay, whatever that means, if I could give you one piece of counsel that was given to me, that has gotten me through situations that, as I said to Brother Sylvester, I said, listen, there's some people that really, we shouldn't even be in the ministry any longer. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, or things will bury you. Things will just discourage the out of you, man. They're going to. You got to get in that book and keep your... But it says, forgave you, even as Christ forgave you. Here's what I have to keep in mind. When I was an enemy of God, I can't get beyond that the older I get. When I was an enemy of God, He loved me. It's easy to love you guys. That's easy. Go out on the street and start passing tracts out. All right, go up to the yeshiva. Go up to the yeshiva. You want a ministry? Go up to the yeshiva. Walk on their property and give them a gospel tract and mention the name of Jesus Christ and see if you don't get thrown off their property. But when I was like that, Jesus Christ loved me. See, I got to filter everything through Him. I have to. Look at 14 now. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what charity does? It builds. You know what charity does? It bonds. Bond, it's like a glue. When you bond, when you put glue between two pieces of wood, it gets bonded together. Plywood, it gets bonded. And you know what they tell me? You know where I'm going with this, right, brother? You take one solid piece of wood, not a nice big solid beam, but then you take plywood that's been glued together, bonded, glued together, bonded, glued together, bonded, glued together, bonded. Do you know that? You know what carpenters tell me? That plywood, maybe 8 laminates of plywood that have been bonded together, bonded together, bonded together, is stronger than that one big solid piece of wood. I got a carpenter sitting right there. He's agreeing with me. You know what charity does? Charity will keep this thing alive. It's the bond of maturity. It's the bond of perfection. Yes, we are going to make sure the doctrines are correct. We've even kind of, I won't say changed, but we have a different slant on a few things simply because we actually started to read our Bible word for word. So we're very conscious of doctrine. But man, we need to look at 1 Corinthians 13, because that's what those Corinthian believers were missing. They were missing the thing that builds them. They were missing the thing that bonds them. Can I take you to 1 Peter 4:8? First Peter, chapter 4, and verse number 8. I'm glad we don't televise this thing in here. I'd hate to be on TV and going. First Peter 4:8. Oh, where do I want to? Can I? Let me just take you back up to. Oh my word. Terrible place. All right. Let me just take you to 4. That's not a. Not the start of a sentence, but let me take you to 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. So somebody got saved, and now their friends were thinking that you were just a strange dude. You're strange because you weren't running with them anymore, and speaking evil of you. And that's going to happen. It's going to happen. You say you got to give up your friends? No, of course you don't have to give up your friends. But if my friends are going to strip bars, I can't go to strip bars anymore. I like hanging out. I mean, I had buddies. You have buddies. You know, I just can't do what you're doing anymore. All right. I like you. You're a great person. I really do like you. But I just can't. I can't go out and get drunk with you anymore. Okay, because I have this, I have my conscience, and I have the Word of God, and it's telling me I've got God, and they're gonna do what the Bible says, evil. They speak evil of you. So know it's coming, young Christian in Christ. Know it's coming. Don't be afraid of it. All right, it's actually one of the greatest testimonies that you'll ever have. Really, your life is your greatest testimony. Your life. I get more opportunities to witness when Deb and I are together. I just happen to like my wife. You know, I know you don't think that's strange. You like your wife too. But you want to know, I know some men that love their wife, but they don't like them. I don't want to hang out with the boys anymore. I don't. Once I got saved and was married and then got saved, you know what? I get more opportunities now when they look at Deb and I, and it's just kind of, we just kind of have fun with each other. You know, she ribs me with something and I come back at her, and you try to be affectionate and not be stupid in public, but you know, it's like, you know what, people, because people are amazed. How many years? How many? Oh my God. Boy, you must know God to be married 45 years. Well, I do know God. I'm just glad to be married. And all of a sudden, somebody will say, what do you do today? What do? You love Jesus Christ first, that you might love each other best. You can't put a man and a woman together and not have conflict. That's just the way it is. The only thing that's going to keep you together is Jesus Christ, and have any harmony with God and with each other. Enough of that nonsense. Let me read down through. 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, if somebody was telling me that the end of all things is at hand, I would pay attention to the very next sentence that he or she was telling me. You have a TV, I have a TV. I watch too much of it, okay? I like crazy shows like Duck Dynasty and you know, I just like Duck Dynasty. It's just, I'm sorry. You know, they just, I know it's not even funny, but I just listen, you know, they're just funny to me. But, every once in a while, and Debbie makes fun of me. I was at the nursing home, and I've got the remote. I'm sitting there, and you know, I mean, it's, you know, you're staring at each other. So, you know, you're talking, and, you know, you ran out of things to talk about after about 3 hours. So I said, well, let me go watch TV. And I'm playing, you know, I turn on the TV, and the channels won't move. And it's like, you know, when things don't work to me, I do one of two things. I either throw them. Or I hand them to my wife and say, fix this. I don't have patience for that. I just don't. It's like, so it wouldn't work. And you know what she said to me? She said, it doesn't get usage like it did at home. She said, at home, ours is very flexible. You can almost, it just feels the tip of your finger, because I channel surf. I have never watched the program through probably in 20 years. I never watch a football game through. I mean, when the commercial comes on, it's drives my wife crazy. But if somebody was going to tell me the end of all things is at hand, you better pay attention, because just maybe you're going to find out. I watch that channel called Doomsday Preppers. I watch it until I get mad about it, and then I change the channel. But they believe the world's going to come to an end. It is. But don't be worried. You don't have to build a bunker. You don't have. There was a time, you know, when it was the turn of the millennium, we were thinking about putting gun turrets in the top of this building. You don't need to put gun turrets in the top of the building. I read the last chapter. I know how it ends. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Okay. And the worse it gets, it's like Mel used to say, when it gets really bad down here, it's getting really good in heaven. Because he's just about ready to step out. The end of all, pay attention. I'm going to give you, Peter's going to give you, God's going to give you exactly what you need to know about the end of all things is at hand. Look at this. Be ye therefore sober. Okay, just sober up. Watch unto prayer. Let's pray more. Look at 8. And above all things, oh my word. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Look at verse 10. I like the one another kind of stuff. All right. Look at verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And above all things, in verse 8, have fervent charity among yourselves. Why, Lord? Why? Well, the end of all things is at hand, Peter wrote. It is a doctrinal book about the millennial, about the 42 months of tribulation at the end of the millennium. It's really not a church epistle, but still it's good information. It's truth. He says, and above all things, have fervent. I don't even know if I'll get to this point. I probably won't. You know what? God gives us privilege. It's a privilege to know Jesus Christ. That's a privilege. Behold, now are we called the sons of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I don't know if that permeates your thinking. But I am a son of God. Doesn't make me better than you, better than anybody else. And I hope you can say that today, because of the new birth on Jesus Christ. You are a daughter or a son of God. Now that may mean absolutely nothing to you. And here comes my point. It may mean absolutely nothing to you. It's like having been raised, you're birthed into a family. I kind of always taught the boys this thing. Now, it didn't always work, I'm going to be honest with you. But now they're parents, and you know what they're finding? They're finding the things that Dad said to them actually were true. I love it. I just flat love it. But I used to tell the boys, you want to know something? It's a privilege to be my sons. You carry my name. Oh, I'm a dean. Yeah, you know how you got that name? me and that woman, your mama, got together and God gave us you. And you and you. All three of them. I said, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be, it's a privilege. But you know what God did for us? He made us sons and daughters of God. That's a privilege. But the Corinthian believers didn't see that as a privilege. They just were doing their own thing. If it's a privilege to be in the family, and you've got a dad and a mom, don't you think it would just be the right thing to find out what dad and mom's mind is on things? Then there's performance. And if you go back there, the first couple of verses of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, there was a performance. We get hung up on the privilege and most of the time don't see it. And then we try to get hung up on the performance. But you know what? I just thought about this not too long ago. You know what they were missing in 1 Corinthians? They were missing passion. They were missing the passion. Did you ever watch somebody do something? They were actually on the team. They were actually had a role they were playing. But they had no passion. I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you know what I see in this 1 Peter chapter 4? I see benevolence. Not malevolence. Benevolence. He said, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know what charity does? Charity is going to cover, overlook, forgive. Use whatever word you want to use. But when we get into a position at FBC where we're not being charitable to one another, I can tell you we will bite and devour each other. In a heartbeat. There'll be blood all over the carpet. And God will write Ichabod. You say, oh, not FBC. Give me a break. I didn't climb out from the rock yesterday. I can take you to churches that were running 600. I can take you to churches that were running 1,000. I can take you to churches that had a history of the King James and Bible-believing doctrine, missionaries. And today, some of them are places that you won't even recognize. I had a man, hey, Brother Rue, he told me of a church that he grew up in, and he said, you wouldn't recognize that church today. Won't recognize it. It can happen. I have a tendency to be call it protective. Call it, Bible tells us to be vigilant. Not that I'm the, you know, I'm just one voice in the wilderness. But here, this is what I do know. You can lose something very quickly. Very quick. Don't think this happens automatically. This doesn't happen automatically. And it's not a formula. I said this Wednesday night, we've had pastors and missionaries come through here and say, how did this happen? But God. We don't have a formula. We don't have a, you know, nothing is done by formula around here. That drives some people crazy. But we don't have to answer to anybody but God. Let me give you the last point. Go to 3 John, verse 4. 3 John. So you're in Peter, just keep moving toward the back. 3 John. So, charity builds, charity bonds. Charity is always benevolent. And if we ever get there, and we won't this morning, that's okay. But you go back to 1 Corinthians 13, and all of those things, long-suffering, kindness, and I'll get there in a moment. Look at 3 John. Charity is a building thing. Charity is a bonding thing. I thought about this. Let me say this. You remember when David, he was now the full king of Israel. There was like three anointings that he got. And finally, after about, if you do the math my way, it's going to be about 15 years from when he was, when Saul was told he's not going to be king, he's going to lose his kingdom, and Samuel anoints David. But now Saul dies and Jonathan dies and David's king. And David, I think it's 1 Samuel. I forget, 13 or something like that. He says, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness? Now think about that. You do remember that Saul was the one throwing the spears and was just absolutely crazy, wild-eyed, trying to kill David and tried to kill his own son a few times. And he's a type of the flesh. But you know what David says? David says, after he's king, he stops one day. He starts to reminisce. And he says to his men, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? And if you go to that chapter in 1 Samuel, somebody says, well, there was Mephibosheth, all right? There was the grandson of Saul. Now keep this in mind. He did not have to show kindness. And if you go back and read that, you know what he says there? He says, that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake. David was ready to show kindness because of the relationship that he had with Jonathan. And if you'll read it, Mephibosheth was lame in his feet. The nurse took him and he got crippled. She fell, he fell, they got crippled. And he brings Mephibosheth. It's a great story. He brings Mephibosheth into the castle, into the kingdom. He's dirty. He's ragged. He's not a little boy anymore. He's a grown man. And he tells Mephibosheth, "You come to my table, and you sit at my table." And Mike often says this. Pastor Mike often says this. You know what? His feet were under the table, so you couldn't see the lame feet. You couldn't. You know what? You know what Jesus Christ did for you and I? He took us that were lame, each and every one of us. And he let us sit at his table. And you want to know something? I'm still lame. I'm still broken. There's part of me. This flesh is still broken. But you know what he says? He gives me that invitation. He says, come sit at my table. And I got to thinking about something the other day. And you hear me. You just put up with me just for a few more minutes. When my grandson John had cancer, 7 years old, diagnosed with Burkitt's lymphoma. So he started a protocol. And that little seven-year-old learned words that had 18 letters in them. He was amazing. I couldn't begin to. He knew what this course was for and that course was for. But they were just about ready, after months of being in the hospital, would take him home, then take him back. And he was finally going to be discharged. Now, I don't know if you remember this, and some of you will. I'm down there living. And somehow, the nurse came into the room when Matt, who was home, was on the phone with Steffi, who was in the hospital, because Matt was trying to get all the home ready. 2 days before, we got a heck of a rainstorm. And Matt's furnace was in the crawl space of the house. And his property starts at the road level and kind of graduates. But the entire basement flooded. The entire basement. So Matt's on the phone talking to Steffi at the hospital. And Matt's excited. And Steffi's excited. And John's excited. I get to come home. And Matt's telling her, I got a problem, baby. There's the whole house. The whole crawl space is underwater. The furnace is ruined. The hot water tank is ruined. The ductwork is ruined. It's a mess. And the nurse kind of got wind of the conversation. So she went out and told the doctor, "Listen, I think something has happened in the house, and we can't let John go home because his immune system is compromised. You can't let that boy go home to a house that is not perfect, or he'll die. He'll get another disease other than what he's got." So the doctor came in and asked Stephanie, and Stephanie didn't lie. She said, "No, doc, the house has been underwater. The crawl space is underwater." And he said, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Dean, but I can't let John be discharged." And that high went down here. But you know, I didn't get on the phone. I don't do that. It's just not me. Right, wrong, I know you're better than I am. I don't do it. Matt didn't get, I don't know. There was a pipeline of information between Stephanie and some of the ladies in this church, and it always, I knew more about First Bible Church living in North Carolina than I did when I lived here. But First Bible Church caught word. And the church down south caught word. And Joe Silvestri caught word. And Mike Veach called Matthew and said, "Brother, I hear you got a problem." So Matt explained it to him. He said, "How much is it going to cost you to get this thing repaired?" Matt had gone up to a contractor up the way, furnace and air conditioning contractor up in his neighborhood. The guy gave him a price. It was a heck of a lot of money. A lot of money. And do you know, between First Bible Church, and I'm making a point here, between First Bible Church, Piedmont Baptist Church, and Worcester Bible Church, you guys gave offerings that enabled a new furnace, new ductwork, a new hot water tank to be put in. Now, here's my point. And some of you are going to take this wrongly because it sounds a little self-serving. But do you know the connection that you have to Matthew Dean? It's through me. That's the connection. David had a connection to Jonathan. "You know, you showed my son kindness. You didn't have to. He's just my son. He's not me. You've always showed me kindness. And really, I bow before you. You're always showing me kindness." David had a connection to Jonathan. And Mephibosheth got the kindness. You know what this is about? Jesus Christ now uses you and I. The whole world gets kindness because of our relationship with Almighty God. We're to go looking for Mephibosheths. We're to go looking for people who are broken. I'm going to quit. That was my introduction. I'll pick it up whenever. Is this place special to you? I hope it is. I hope it is. You know, see, it's more than just the privilege. And it's more than just performance. This place has to be a passion. It has to be a passion. It has to be something that just stirs you. I'm here, truth be told. It's more than a privilege and a performance. This place is a passion. It didn't start out that way. But I can tell you this. You stay somewhere long enough, and it'll become a passion for you. And I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about you people. You folks. Because I've seen God and God and God. I watched God do something without a formula, with pure faith. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.